But you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll look at a few verses here. Actually, the fourth section. Talk about that in a section. Well, I guess the theme, what do you think the theme of Psalm 119 is? The Word of God? Yes. Anybody else have any ideas? The Word of God, that's a good answer because just about every verse talks about God's Word. Somebody, there was a pastor who came and spoke at my dad's church. He was actually one of the first pastors of the church in Stratton. He's actually a pastor in Montreal, Ontario, somewhere in Canada now. But he came and spake out of Psalm 119, and he asked that question, and everybody said, the Word of God. And that's what you'd think. But as you think about it, he says, it's really actually the psalmist's response to the Word of God. Which it is, and that's kind of interesting. You remember Psalm 119 has 22 sections, broken down into 8 verses in each section. Each section represents a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in each section, each verse begins with that letter of the alphabet. So you probably have a heading in your Bible, Aleph. All the verses in Aleph, the first 8 verses, begin with the letter transliterated A for us, or Bet for B and Gamil. And I don't know Hebrew very well, but it's set up that way, and so it's kind of interesting. The theme is the psalmist's response to the Word of God, and we'll get into verses 25 through 32 in just a moment. Why did the math book go to the guidance counselor? What do you think? To get help with all of his problems, right? Har, 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 right? Right. Well, most kids don't like math problems. I didn't really like them, not until I got into algebra, and then only a little bit. You felt smart because you had equations, you felt like a scientist, and solved for X, and it was great. But I didn't do very well in algebra 2, but but most kids don't like math problems, but we know that those are good for them, right? Math problems are good for them. You'll use it one day, and if you don't, there are situations where if you knew it, you should have used it. But it grows the thinking of the child. They'll know more. They'll retain more. The problems that seem hard now will become easier, and the impossible problems, they become manageable. So they're good. The problems that seem harder, they become manageable. So math's book of problems are given to us to prepare us for life's problems, right? In many different ways, problem solving. But to take it and put it in a different perspective, problems in general are good for us. God says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That's Psalm 119, verse 71. None of us like problems, I don't think, unless you're, I don't know, that would be crazy, I would think, if you like problems. But a mature believer should be aware that problems are good for us, right? Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Now, we don't have to be the one with the issue to learn from problems. In fact, there are many problems in scriptures that are given to us so that we can learn from them, and we don't have to go through the problem ourselves. Here in Psalm 119, 25 through 37, the psalmist recounts a problem for us. Really, he doesn't really get into the problem. We don't know what the problem was, really, and we don't really need to know. It's not important. We don't have to know the overtones of a problem to know the solution. We don't have to know the whole thing. But we're going to look for the solution here. It's really the solution to all problems, all situations in life. And the crux of the message is God's Word is the answer. And really, that's all I have to say tonight. And there's a lot of other stuff there, too, but but really, God's Word has all the answers, and that's what the psalmist comes to the conclusion of, that he needs more of God's Word. And the reason we have problems is we don't have enough of God's Word. We don't understand and apply God's Word. If you look at it that way, when you approach a problem, you realize, wait a minute, there's something I don't understand about God's Word, or I'm not applying in God's Word. That's just a different way of looking at it, and then you come to God's Word and guess what? It does have the answers, but we'll get into it. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're going to look for, really, the solution here that the psalmist comes to. And really, as we look through Psalm 119, it's not like a checklist. It's not saying, do this, don't do that, and here's some doctrine here and there. That's not what Psalm 19 is about. It's the attitude of the psalmist to the Word of God, and we should mimic that attitude. This is God's desire for us. He wants us to desire His Word like the psalmist does here. And so really, that's kind of the way we're looking at it. The way the psalmist responds to God's Word, that's how we need to respond to His Word. So here's the roadmap for tonight. There's six things. First, we'll read through it. Then we'll look at some word studies, and I'll paraphrase some of the passage here, and I'll explain more of that in a minute. We'll separate it into two parts. There's kind of two parts of this, and there's some correlations between the two parts. We'll look at that. We'll categorize the eight verses and summarize them. We'll find some implications, and then lastly, we'll find some lessons. Okay, so let's begin, and let's just read the psalm so we know what we're looking at. Verse 25, it says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt have enlarged my heart." So now let's do some word studies and let's do some paraphrasing. When you try to translate something, and we did practice in Greek in college, but when you translate something in a different language, you can't say, this Hebrew word means this English word. It's not that easy. I wish it was that easy, but it doesn't work. Sometimes it takes a couple words or maybe several sentences to convey the idea of a certain word. So word studies are helpful, and perhaps to paraphrase it, it's helpful to maybe give it a better idea of the thinking behind the psalmist here. I don't want to spend too long on it, but maybe we can look at some words here. If you look at verse 25, it says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." The word soul is a very broad term, very general term. Generally, it talks about the life, the soul, the life. The word cleaveth means cling or hold on to or fasten oneself on. And dust is literally, it's dry, fine particles of dirt. Or metaphorically, of the realm of the humble or the undeserving. Or of the realm of those who are perishing, it says. So to paraphrase it, we might be able to say, my life is close to perishing. You know, probably not literally. Again, this is poetry. Maybe not literally dying, but there's a paraphrase. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. It says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken simply means to preserve or to keep alive. Preserve me from death is the idea. According to your word. According to your word. And, you know, I don't know Hebrew. Some people say, well, according to can be by thy word. Either is true. We know by other scriptures that God preserves us by his word. And there are promises in his word that he promises to preserve us. So according to his word, it's both scripturally accurate. And it reads here in our King James, according to your word. It says, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. The word declared means to recount something, you know, to kind of retell. And heardest, it really means answered. So I've recounted my ways and you answered me. It says, teach me thy statutes. The word statutes has some interesting words to describe it. I won't give you all of them. There's a lot of them. But generally, it's something prescribed, like a portion, a limit, or a task, or an obligation, or a boundary, or order, obligation, prescription, definition. Teach me what you prescribe for me. Teach me what you want. Teach me the obligations that I have. 27, it says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Understand means to bring to insight, to explain, instruct, Make someone perceptive. Make me perceptive of the way of thy precepts. Give me insight. Precepts are orders, directions, or things appointed, charges, you might say. Give me insight into what you want for me, the directions you have for me. Now, hang in there. I know this is kind of boring, I know, but think about it. Think about the words as we go through it. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works, the end of 28, or the end of 27 says. Wondrous works. He'll talk of the extraordinary works. Those aren't normal things. Those are extraordinary, is a word that we could use. My soul melteth for heaviness. Again, there's the same word for soul, general term for life, or maybe the inner being, the inner man. For heaviness, melteth, there it is. Melteth means leaks or weeps. Weeps is the idea here. The inner man weeps for heaviness. Heaviness is sorrow, trouble, or grief. My inner being, my inner man weeps for grief. My soul melteth for heaviness, he says. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Word strengthen or support. Support me. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. Perhaps this was his sin, lying. Perhaps. Not really sure. The word lying is deception in words or an act or something that deceives, or it could just be vanity or something that has no reason, it's without reason. And he says, remove from me the way of lying, the way of deception, the deceptive way. Take away the way of deception, you know, the thing that might seem right but's wrong. It's not God's way. And grant me thy law graciously. Law is direction or instruction in a specific way. God's specific instruction, God's specific direction. But it also could mean generally, as in the Torah or the Pentateuch, graciously, to graciously provide, to show favor, be gracious to. So grant me thy law graciously, or graciously provide instruction to me, he's asking. I need your instruction. Graciously provide it for me. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Truth is steadiness, reliability, honesty, security, steadfastness, faithfulness. I've chosen the way of steadfastness, the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Judgments are decisions, especially of a legal kind, legal decisions, or ordinances, or customs. He says, your decisions, your ordinances, your customs, your ways have I put before me. What you've decided, I've put before me, the psalmist says. Verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. The word stuck is the same as cleaveth in verse 25. To cling, to hold on to fasten oneself on. It says, I have fastened myself on thy testimonies. And the testimonies is, the Ten Commandments are often called the testimony. Or really, it could be generally of the code of law. I've fastened myself on your laws. He says, O Lord, put me not to shame. He says, O Lord, don't let me be ashamed. He doesn't want to be ashamed. In verse 32, it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The word enlarge means to make wide, or to make wide room for. And the heart is generally of the inner self, the mind, the character, disposition. I will run the way of your commandments when you widen my heart. So there's some paraphrase, there's some words there. I don't know if that helps you at all. I hope it does. Now, number three, I would like to take it and separate it into two parts. Verses 25 through 27 is one section. And then verses 28 through 32 is another section. So there's some correlations here. Look at verse 25. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Now, there's kind of a correlation of the soul. Now, before I go any further, Hebrew poetry, this is a book of poetry. Hebrew poetry isn't like English poetry, right? We do rhyming words. You know, roses are red, violets are blue, or maybe it's the other way around. But they're supposed to rhyme in English. But in Hebrew, it's parallel thought is the idea. That's what poetry is, parallel thoughts. And you see that throughout Psalms. But here we see some parallelisms. My soul cleaveth unto dust. And then in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. The next part of 25, quicken thou me according to thy word. The second part of 28, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. If you look at verse 26, I have declared my ways. The next part talks about ways. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. If you go to the other side, remove from me the way of lying. I have chosen the way of truth. In verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So there's the correlation of the ways in both sections there. And then you see, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works in the last part. I will run the way of thy commandments, and thou shalt enlarge my heart. So there's some correlations here. It seems that the first part is talking, he's addressing the offense, the sin in his life. And let's read it, and let's look at it that way. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways. He's confessing his sin. And thou heardest me, teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. So kind of addressing the offense. And then the second part seems to address the root problem. The root problem. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. He needs to be strengthened. Remove the way of lying. Grant me thy law. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I need to be strengthened so that I don't fall back into sin. I need the law given to me. I need it before me. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I'm going to stick to your testimonies. I'm going to cling to your testimonies, your law. Put me not to shame. And he makes a determination. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So there seems to be, you know, this is just analysis, seems to be kind of two things, addressing an offense, addressing the root problem. The first part, he talks about understanding God's word. He says, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. He wants to learn. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. In the second part, he wants God to fulfill his word. He talks about strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I've stuck under thy testimonies. Oh, put me not to shame. He's asking God to fulfill his word. So there's some correlations here, and we'll kind of look at it that way. Now, let's categorize and summarize. We'll focus on the psalmist. There's kind of three things that he has here. He's in distress. He's in distress. He has a desire, and he's determined. Those three things. So when he's in distress, we see here his soul cleaveth unto the dust. He says also that his soul melteth for heaviness. Now, he wanted out of the problem, no doubt, right? Don't we all want out of problems? We don't like problems. We want to get out of the problem. But as we'll see here in the second part, yes, he was in distress. What did he do? He decided to direct his desires. To direct his desires. He didn't want a cheap fix. Just avoid the problem, just make it go away kind of thing or whatever. He didn't want the cheap fix. He wanted the real solution. He needed to know and understand God's word. He knew that's what needs to change. I need God's word. So he directs his desire in his problem. He doesn't decide, I'm just going to try and find the easy way out. He needs the Lord. And he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. Here's some things he desires in this passage. Teach me thy statutes, he says. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Strengthen me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. O Lord, put me not to shame. When you're in problem, do you want the easy way out? Do you want to just get the pressure off? It's easy to be that way. But that's not really what we need. We need God's answers. Because that's a lot of times we put ourselves in the problem, no doubt. But sometimes the Lord puts us in problems. And it's better to find out what he wants us to learn. Even if we put ourselves in the problem, we need to learn something. Find out what God wants to teach us. Find out the answers in his word. And the psalmist did that. He directed his desires to the Lord, saying, this is what I need. And then he was determined. He made some choices. And here's some of the choices we see in this passage. He says, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. And that's really the fear of the Lord, cleaving unto the testimonies and to the law of God, hating evil and loving what God loves. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Meaning, the idea there is when God enlarges his heart, makes room for more truth, when God gives him more understanding, he's going to run the way of that, and he's going to apply it to his life. He's going to obey it. I'm going to run the way of thy commandments, and thou shalt enlarge my heart. So that's a focus on the psalmist. Now we'll focus on some of the attributes of God that we see in this passage. You see, at the first part there, God's word makes alive. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, quicken thou me according to thy word. But we also see God hears and answers prayer. God has specific directions. He wanted to know directions. He wanted to know what he should do. What do you have prescribed for me? God has specific directions for everyone. God performs extraordinary works. Not just back in the days of Moses and David and Peter and Paul, but he does it today. That's just a character of God. God does wondrous works. God's word gives strength. There's another thing or another characteristic of God we see here. God gives us his direction. He gives us his decisions. like a judge, even. Have you ever come to the Lord? Lord, what do you think about this? And you find his judgments, kind of like a judge. He'll tell you, he really will. He'll tell you in his words. God enlarges the heart. He allows us to take in more. He enlarges the heart. So what are some implications here? Well, when there's sin, we see the psalmist, what is the first thing you notice about the psalmist? Well, the first thing I notice is his humble spirit. He comes before the Lord. He's low. He's humble. You remember Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And we see he goes to God. That's where you have to go. He goes in prayer. He goes in his word. He realizes that God's word is the answer, right? It's not the feelings, right? The feelings aren't the answer. The feelings have a place, no doubt, but not in the decision-making process. Don't go to books, not even books about the Bible, right? They have a place, too. But I was thinking yesterday, Brother Leroy, we were just talking at the pastor's house and after prayer, and he asked me a question about me, like, have you always lived in Stratton? You know, did you grow up in Stratton, or were you from somewhere else? And, you know, like, no, I gave him the answer. But he came and he asked me where I lived and you know, if I'd always lived in Maine. And that makes the most sense. If he wants to know that answer, he would come and ask me, right? But what if he, you know, he wants to go find somebody else and ask them? They may have the right answer. They may not have the right answer. But, you know, even my wife might not know some things about me that I could tell you. And so it would make sense that you'd go to the person if you want to find out something about it, right? And so in the same way, why don't we go to the Lord? Well, we can go to somebody else. They might be right. They could be wrong. But why don't we just go to the Lord? He knows all the answers. And sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not qualified or I don't know enough. But that's beside the point. The Scripture tells us we need no man to teach us. We have the Holy Spirit, it says in the New Testament. And so we can go directly to the Lord and he can teach us. Sometimes we think too little of ourselves and not enough of God. Yes, we're unlearned. We don't know much. We don't know the half of the Scriptures or all the little details of things, I'm sure. But God is able to come down to our level and to teach us, right? He can do that. So why not go directly to the source? Again, there's nothing wrong with helps. I'm not against helps. I use helps. But we can't rely on those. We rely on God. Let's talk to the source. Talk to the Lord. He knows the answers. As an 18-year-old in college, I was misguided about the specific will of God. I'd look for signs, right? You ever do that? You look for signs? I want to know what God wants me to do. So you look for signs, and that's kind of a weird thing sometimes. You know, Lord, if you want me to do this, then this person is going to say this word, or a pin will drop when I walk into the room, or it'll rain today, or it'll snow, or it'll rain and snow. Then I'll really know, or all sorts of crazy things that come into the mind. And, you know, the Lord's going to show me, and I'm going to know exactly what I'm supposed to do. It never worked. You know, you can go and ask people for advice, and you do other things, and it just didn't seem to work. I didn't know God's specific will. But God was teaching me something, and I know exactly what it was. He made it very clear to me. He was teaching me to get directions, even specific directions, from His Word. He's saying, go to the Word, because it's in the Word. Don't rely on people. Don't rely on mysterious things. He says, go to the Word. And it was then, in college, my freshman year in college, when I really understood the importance of my devotions and spending time with the Lord, because that's where the answers are. That's where He will give you direction. It's a very real thing. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Lord giving direction from His Word? I probably all have, but if you haven't, seek the Lord. Get in there, and He will show you. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "Thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Again, that was speaking to Israel, if they turned away from the Lord, that He would. But that principle is throughout Scripture. The Lord will hear if you come to Him. Obviously, there's some stipulations. You've got to be free from sin and humble and come to Him. But the Lord promises to hear. God's Word's the answer. So we're back in here. We're talking about some implications here. There's sin in the life. Well, the psalmist, what does he do? He comes to the Lord. Well, he's humble. He comes to the Lord in prayer and His Word. And he makes confession. He says, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." Tell him your sins. He hears and he answers prayer. First John 1:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord believe. No, that's Romans. You always get these mixed up in your head. Maybe you know it.
We confess our sins, He's faithful.
Thank you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, if you're saved, the only thing left is what? Righteousness, right? Practically, not talking about positionally, we're righteous, yes, but practically is so too. So, he confessed his sin and he sought God's instructions for how to stay out of sin. How do I stay out of sin? He says, "Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." How do I stay clean? Well, the second part kind of talks about that. How to stay clean, how to fix the root problem here. And God's Word's your support. You see it here in verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." And then you have to reject the deceitful way of sin and seek the way of truth. In the next part, "Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." Keep God's word before you. These are just some practical principles. So you confess the sin. If you're like me, I think most people, we confess our sin. That's great. But then we go our way. We don't deal with the root issue, and it keeps coming back and coming back. And the psalmist here doesn't want it to come back. And we ought not to want it to come back either. And so we need God's word. We need God's word to strengthen us, strengthen the inner man. You get confessed sin. You have a weak body and you fall down and you hurt yourself. Well, that's not good. So you get up, you get healed, you get your bones set. But you need to get some strength in you so you don't fall down again. We need God's word for strength. We need to reject the deceitful way of sin and seek the way of truth. Keep God's word before you. He says, "Thy judgments have I laid before me." Stick to His word. Stick to His word, it says. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Memorization is helpful. So if you have a specific problem, it's good to memorize the words. You can stick to His word. Be determined to obey the Lord when He reveals more to you. I was with an evangelist. I traveled for the college, and we sang, and we had different evangelists at different time, and there was one particular evangelist. He did something that I thought was kind of neat. He called it a reverse, maybe you've heard of it, a reverse invitation. So before I even preached, he asked everybody, bow your heads, close your eyes, and I think you'd ask if they had any sin in their life, go ahead and confess it now. But he also said, if you sincerely mean it, tell the Lord that whatever you're getting ready to hear, that you're going to obey, whatever it is that you're going to obey. And I think that's a good idea for all of us, really. You're sitting in church before the message, and just tell the Lord, if you're sincere, that I haven't heard it yet, but Lord, whatever you're going to show me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey it. And that's the psalmist's attitude here. He's determined to obey the Lord. When the Lord enlarges his heart, he makes room where he can receive more, he can understand more. When the Lord gives him more, I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. He's not going to walk. He's going to run. You see the intensity of it there. So we read through it. We looked at some of the words and paraphrased it a little bit. We broke it into two sections. We talked about how he's kind of addressing sin and then he's addressing the root of the problem. We categorized things, looked at it from the psalmist's perspective, and looked at some characteristics of God. And then we made some implications there just now. And so lastly, there's just some lessons, just a few lessons. There are many lessons we can learn. But we need to mimic, and that's really the whole lesson of Psalm 119 as you read it. We need to mimic the heart of the psalmist, to invest yourself in God's word. You see that throughout. I mean, if you look at it, Psalm 119, that way, it will change your life. It really will. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You read it and you say, this is what I need. I need not just this, but I need the attitude here, the attitude about it. What else? What's another lesson we can learn from this passage? God's word has the answers. He had some problems in his life, but he knew that the Lord had the answers. He can always go to God. He went to God. That never gets old to me. That's amazing. You can always go to God. You don't have to be Moses. You don't have to be Abraham. You don't have to be David. You don't have to be Paul or Peter or any of those guys to go to God. It's amazing. And it's the same God, and you can talk to him. God will give you specific directions. God can remove false ways and show you the right way through his word, through his word. And, you know, it's important to note, I guess, God uses other things too, but it's all based on his word. And the Lord wants us to be grounded grounded in his word as the anchor of all things. And lastly, we have to be determined to obey whatever God shows us. Be determined to obey whatever God shows you. I hope it's not too boring for you tonight. I hope you found something that was helpful to you so much in Psalm 119. And I over time, take a section and kind of meditate on it and look at it. But we need that heart. You know, problems in life, they don't seem like a fun thing, but God uses them in our lives. And when we have problems, what we need is more of God's word. Not relief from pressure, but we need God to change us the way we think and the way we do things and give us understanding and help us to apply his word in a new way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for this opportunity. I hope, Lord, that you'd help us to remember some of these things. I know perhaps it was a little involved and difficult perhaps to follow everything. But I hope that we will be determined, Lord, to seek your word, truth from your word, to be determined to obey it, to follow it, to have the heart of the psalmist and to be faithful to you. Thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the opportunity to pray together, and we ask that you'd bless that time. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.